What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to What an H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the fuck are you?
Oh, very well, Terry. Very well.
Last one, can't hold it back.
And how the fuck are you?
I too am well. Well, really threw us off kilter, brilliant. Didn't they?
Oh, listen, how have you been?
I've been good, and I've been better. I'm going to rip the band-aid off right now. Look at you there, like the cat that ate the canary. All right?
Are we going to talk about it?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
My team versus Terry's team.
Okay. Let me get a beer going here. You can keep talking.
So, well, as you probably know, Terry's a United fan. I'm a Liverpool fan. Liverpool, I mean, they didn't just beat them.
They beat their brains in.
They humiliate. I mean, I've never seen a post-match reaction like it, to be honest. It was like someone died. It was like everyone was just real. Like, I never seen the look of a manager. I saw Solskjaer on the full time when he's walking to that tunnel. I was like, holy shit. Like,
dead he looks like he's man walking. You done it now.
Gonna do what's it. The line?
Always kicking assholes ass. You're gonna pay. You're gonna pay.
Ridiculous, Larry. Yeah, look, what did you think of it? You know what I
thought. I thought it was a shit show, but I wasn't angry. I think
you wanted this event.
I'm on record for saying I didn't want this. I don't,
you know, not like this.
not like this. These. I was out with our friend Andy Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
And we had some pints and we were watching the game. And I was kind of saying to him that if I was watching this at home, I'd be climbing the walls. I'd be internalizing everything.
Yeah.
Out having a few pints, I'm able to be like, oh.
It's a bit breezier.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't hold on to anything.
Yeah.
Whereas,
because you can actually say it to someone else who's knows football.
I'd be giving out to the TV. Faye'd be like, what's wrong, John?
I don't like your energy in this sense.
Oh, on bad energy, Terry, when Man United are losing. Yeah. Like, great energy when they're winning. Yeah. But like,
yeah. I always make a joke to Kerry, like, Liverpool are playing, so I'm either going to be in a great mood or an awful mood for the rest of the day.
I think I need to just be like, Man United are playing. I need to go either, new rules, to the pub or lock myself in the bedroom upstairs and watch it on the laptop. That's the... Just away from...
Just squeeze one of those stupid rubber balls.
It was very bad, yeah.
When I checked, it was one of those surreal matches where I wasn't even watching.
Why were you watching?
I was having lunch with my mum and Tony and all this in Dublin.
You were up here and you didn't contact me. You could have come and watched the match with us.
I know.
Yeah.
Actually, but
it's probably
time,
better that you didn't.
Yeah, I'd love to. Every time I refreshed it, I'm like, 2-0. It's 3-0. I'm like, it's half time. It's 4-0. And no one else cared. Tony kind of cared, but the rest.
No way. I'd say that's Tony.
Like, oh, wow. Yeah. Tony's like, unreal.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's time for Solskjaer. They're going to win the Spurs game, and I don't know why. There's a great movie. And it always comes back to movies with me. The great movie called Killing Them Softly, right?
Yeah.
Where Brad Pitt plays a guy the mob bring in to fix problems in New Orleans. And the whole thing is Ray Liotta is a guy, he's a gangster who ripped off his own card game years ago. So other people decide to rip off his card game.
Right.
And they're going to he's dead. They're going to think he did it. And the whole thing is that happens. And then they bring in Brad Pitt to fix the problem. And he's like, he's got to go. And they're like, well, they like him. Couldn't you just beat him up a little bit? Like Richard Jenkins from Step Brothers, the dad.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, they don't want it to be too extreme. Could you just beat him up? It's like, a beating does nothing. He's like, yeah, they like him. Everybody likes him. But if it happens again, somebody else is going to do it. Or they're going to think he did it himself. He's got to go. And I'm like, that's my thesis right there. Yeah. There's no point. This Spurs game, Like, what happens then?
Especially now that Barcelona have sacked their manager. Like, they're going to get the next best, whoever is available.
Probably go for your man from Ajax. Oh, well, they're talking about Xavi, to be honest. So, like, yeah,
he wouldn't have worked at United, really.
He wouldn't work anywhere. He won't work at Barcelona. Barcelona are a shit. They're more of a shit show than United, which is saying something.
That's true.
But, like if you beat Spurs, and then.
What do you think of Ronaldo doing all this? See that?
Well, what was that?
When Salah got his. Got Liverpool's third. Ronaldo is there. You could just see like Liverpool celebrating off in the background, and Ronaldo is just like this.
What's that mean?
I don't know. Like, I've seen a lot of Ole doing that. I don't know. Now, some people were saying, because it was pieced together with a clip from Ole doing it like 2 years ago. Right. So, like, so they were trying to push that narrative. But either it meant we're all over the place or something like that. But he was fucking lucky. He was lucky to stay on the pitch.
Me and Andy, I was saying, well, he's got to go. And it's like, if he wasn't Cristiano Ronaldo, if that was Fred, you're gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Too much of a big story. The ref didn't have the balls.
Yeah.
To put himself.
Then again, I was like, he kicked the ball.
He's lucky that ball only happened to block. He kicked him like 3 times. Just happened to do a ball.
Phony, fakey fraud. So I sat there. Me and Andy went drinking at about 4, and I stayed there till about 12 that night, drinking pints. 9 pints and a whiskey before bed.
Nice.
I was in not
well oiled.
Yeah, in good form. But I tell you what, Andy, there's some things I missed about socializing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, pints and seeing a friend and watching football and all. Very good. Chinese was closed.
Ooh.
To make for a tray of frozen wedges by the time I got home, which, you know, was soakage. Anyway, what I didn't miss and what I didn't realize is people, Andy.
Yes.
Other people.
Yeah. Aren't they the worst?
Oh my God. Like, people just like, as if we haven't just come out of a pandemic. It's like going to the bathroom. Well, you put your mask on. Sure. Like, nope. Not a chance. Just do, do, do. I was like, oh, have we learned nothing?
Trousers down around the ankles. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. Hey, how are you? But then there was also like, we were at a table for like a high table. So you're on stools. It's 4 of them in the area, you know, spaced away properly. And there was a load of room out the back. They have kind of picnic tables, so you could get a bigger group out the back with a big screen. And then it was like, oh, it got very cold. So one of the big groups came in. About 10 of them just plonked around the table for 4, all standing there. Like, okay, great. Yeah.
Blocking your view?
No, the match was over at this stage. But it was just like, they're still about 2 meters away from us. So like, that's a lot of people congregating. And then, and I'm like, okay, as if that pig behavior wasn't enough, they went even further with their pig behavior. One of them went up and got like a round of something on a tray.
Yeah.
Put the drinks on his table, and he just like leant over and placed, like slammed the tray down on our table as if we weren't there. And I was like, you mother. I was like, all right. Okay. I was like, sorry, excuse me. You take this fucking back.
Yeah.
What a take prick. This. But I'm like,
excuse me, sir.
Whatever about the post-pandemic behavior, it was like
just human behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, no, we're back to being fucking. And I thought the pandemic kind of brought out a lot of good in people, but no, we're back.
Yeah, you realize
to being fucking troglodytes.
I do. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there, but I am right there with you.
Yeah,
people are
the worst.
It's a terrible outlook for me to have. But yeah, I'd be, you know. That's one thing. That's why at the start of the pandemic, I was only talking about this with someone the other day. Like, when the pandemic started, I was kind of giddy. I always get giddy.
I was with you.
Some big, like, national.
Like the big snow or whatever.
Not global, like, but a national, like, big snow, bad wind, you know.
Stay at home.
No bread on the shelves sort of panic.
I remember that.
You know, and the fact that we had to go home because of this global pandemic. And I was like, what? It's like, what? This is a movie. I couldn't get over it. And then I was like, oh, this is like there was a few things I think coming up, and I was like, I don't know if I'll go to that or whatever. And it's like, took out all my excuses. I was like, great, well, I can't.
All I wanted to be locked in my house.
And yeah,
so, I mean, it wore off quickly. Like,
I tell you what, I'm feeling the effects now. I feel like a completely different person than I was pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
For better, some better, some worse.
I went through a lot of stages in the pandemic.
Yeah.
I never realized how much anger I stored in me for a long period. I think I've kind of gotten a lot better at that now. But it was personally think back in the pandemic, like the smallest thing would be setting me off.
Yeah.
We're like,
like in Central, like you come back, there you go, you know, 20 John player boot, and that'll be whatever, 980 or whatever it was at the time, and a €3 quick pick. No problem. Punching the boxes behind the till. There you go. It's like, can't take for that with card. What do you mean? I'll leave it there. So, like,
this would be like, we're out of floor. I'm like,
hasn't been set up on the system. I'll be right back. Massive queue. Just hold on there 2 seconds. I'll just put that through for you.
Have you been watching anything or doing anything apart from gloating over that lovely win for you? By the way, I'm drinking a McGargles Rosie's
Pale Ale. You gotta tell them what you saw, Terry. You gotta tell them what you're drinking, Terry.
For me, McGargle. Rosie's Pale Ale. It's lovely.
Nice. I've got a drench. Tropical. I tell you, there's very few better drinks in the soft drink aisle than
this. It's not a soft drink, mate.
Well, it's in the soft drink section. In the chill section.
You know what? You're right. You did say in the soft drink aisle. You didn't say it was a soft drink.
If I've been watching that, I'll be honest, I haven't. I've been watching... No. Nothing. Seinfeld still.
Still on that, huh?
Watch that. Yeah, season 9. I haven't really been watching much, to be honest. I'm trying to think. I mean, I watch TV every night, but I mean, nothing that sticks. What about you? Come on, you're the TV man.
I went to the cinema to see Bond 25.
Yeah.
No Time to Die.
And?
It's good. It's weird. It's a weird Bond movie.
It's bad.
I don't think it's bad. It's definitely not the worst Daniel Craig Bond.
Quantum of Solace.
That or Spectre, I'm undecided on which one is worse.
Right.
This one is like third, I would say.
Out of how many has he done?
5. So okay. Right in the middle.
How many did Pierce Brosnan do?
He did 4.
Is he the least?
Lazenby only did 1. Huh. And Dalton did 2. So you take all this in, because maybe in a little while we'll be discovering maybe what's so great about this series.
No. Why?
One of our patrons did ask, would we ever consider doing it? And I was like, you know what? It's a perfect one for somebody who has no knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go back and look at the stuff from the 60s and see all the horrible misogyny and be like, what the fuck were they thinking back then?
I mean, it's a franchise.
It's a juicy watermelon you want to sink your teeth into.
Okay. Oh, well, we'll come back. We'll stick a pin in that.
I've already got like I think we
care to tell me the direction of the show? I don't know what we're doing.
I'm creative director. I'm Don Draper and you're art department, all right? I got this vision, Andy.
Hang on. I'm going to turn down our levels.
Are you too loud?
For a second. Well, just... It's encroaching to the top of the bar, Terry.
But anyway, Bond 25. 25. I'll get you in and out in less than half that.
What do you mean?
We wouldn't need to do all 25. I get you away with doing like 12.
12, like.
12's perfect.
Now, how about these levels? Yeah, that's a bit better.
We do 25 Simpsons a year.
Sorry, I'm going to turn it up again.
I tell you, the studio's supposed to be easier than this. It seems fine when I'm looking at it.
When we're both talking and yucking it up, it's off
the charts. Level's fine. okay, but it's good, it's weird, it's long, and I will tell you, if you gave me 25 years, I never ever would have been able to figure out how they were going to end this film. Like, as in, like, sum up the end of it. Like, give me the one line pitch meeting. It's like, and we end it with this happening. And I would never in a million years be able to say, that's how you end it? For better or for worse.
Satisfactorily?
Kind of, but also I was just like, oh, wow, okay, you did it.
Did your dad like it?
I think he kind of did, but he's also like...
I can't imagine him sitting through a 2-hour 40 movie or whatever it was.
Yeah, he can. Yeah. But I think he was basically saying, like, the Bond thing is dated.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's a lot of stuff in it that, like, going forward, you probably wouldn't see.
Now, can I ask you, I was going to save this for the Patreon when we're talking about focus, but I want to ask this question.
Sure.
Do you think the espionage sort of theme is past it? Now, I was going to say for focus, like the heist theme. Do you think that sort of stuff? No. Okay.
I would say if you want good espionage,
like for now.
Yeah. If you want good espionage, watch the Mission Impossible movies.
Okay.
They're fucking brilliant. Like, they're really, really good.
Right. Okay.
They're the, like, they're what Bond wants to be. You know what I mean? Like,
if Bond could get to that level, it'd be...
It's weird because they were always seemed like the kind of knockoff thing. And then since 2011, the last four... So it was 4, 5, 6. And they're doing 7 and 8 now, I think. 4, 5, 6? Is that right? Yeah. 4, 5, and 6 are very good. I don't
know. Yeah.
4, 5, and 6 are very good.
Right.
They're almost getting better as they've gone along. Like,
bit of a fast and furious trajectory.
Yeah, but... You know,
that was up and then it was going down and now it's...
No, it's not back up. Whoever tells you that. Okay. Like, okay. If anything, it was up and it was quite down and then a little bit back up with the last one.
Can I ask you, would you recommend people see the Bond movie?
If you like Bond... Like, if you've watched all the other Daniel Craig ones and stuff, go see it.
Right.
It is silly. Like, some of the stuff in it that you're like, wait, does that make sense? Like, the villain is the guy from Mr. Robot and Bohemian Rhapsody. And you're like, okay, but, like, aren't you supposed to be 20 years older than this other character and you look the same age? They didn't really age him up.
Right.
At points. They do some interesting stuff. Like, there's certainly the scenes in it that hit. Like, in terms of, like, characters and stuff, you're like, oh, shit. Like, and, like, Ana de Armas is in it. Ben Affleck's... Remember Ben Affleck's ex-girlfriend that you were seeing him with during the pandemic?
No.
Before J-Lo.
What's her name?
Ana de Armas.
Ana de Armas.
Putting that stank on it, huh?
Yeah, you know it. Let me just have a look here. Oh, yeah. Oh, what was she in that I was...
Knives Out?
No. She was in something that I was appreciating. What was she in?
Huh.
It was something for the podcast.
Blade Runner 2049.
The bot.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
She's more than that, mate.
The fucking... I'm going to use the derogatory term. The bot.
How very dare you.
Yeah,
she's great.
And he went back to J-Lo after he was going out with her.
Yeah, they broke up and then he went back to J-Lo. I mean, talk about landing on your feet, you know.
Still trading down as far as I'm
concerned. Yeah, but I mean, minuscule. Like, very much. It's,
I mean,
like,
we're really splitting hairs. It's like, yeah. He's still a goddamn son of a bitch. Whatever way you look at it. Yeah.
Fleck, he's having some hell of a year.
Okay, what else you got?
I watched Halloween Kills, the latest in the Halloween franchise.
Is it still going?
Did you not watch Halloween 2018?
No, I haven't seen any of the new Halloweenies.
Halloween is a weird thing because Halloween 2018 is a direct sequel to the 1978 first Halloween. As in, they cut out, they're like, right, none of those other movies matter.
Right.
And this is goes from this to this. And so this is like the third film in the series. Second one in
that's
the last.
They're requiring a lot of mental gymnastics.
But that's
there,
the thing. There's a load of Venn diagrams that are quite funny when you look at it. It's like, this links to this and this. Like, the whole thing was like, in Halloween 2, originally, Michael Myers and Laurie, Jamie Lee Curtis, are like brother and sister. And they're like,
right,
no, that didn't happen. So like, there's like 7 movies that they, like, Halloween H2O, Halloween Resurrection, never happened.
Right, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
But this one is weird because it picks up straight away after the end of the first reboot or whatever.
Yeah.
It's on the same night. And the idea is that it's like, he is still alive. Michael Myers is still alive after the first one. And then instead of him terrorizing the town, it's like the town is like, we're going to kill him. It's like, right, evil dies tonight. And you're like, okay, like, mob mentality, interesting idea. And then it's just... becomes really stupid. Like, the stupid kills. Why are you doing that? Like, yeah, no, like...
The usual.
Like, put a bullet in his head.
Yeah.
In fairness, they do shoot
him.
Has
anyone ever just tried to just shoot him point blank.
He gets shot like four times in the chest in this one.
Way more. Give him 10.
Like, or like he gets stabbed in the, like he's on the ground and somebody stabs him in like the spine. You're like, okay, so his spinal cord should be severed. Like, no.
And what's any explanation for why he's like unkillable?
Not yet. The thing. They seem to be hinting at towards, because like at one point Jamie Lee Curtis is like, I don't think he'll ever die until I die, or our lives are linked.
Right, okay.
It's pretty stupid.
Sounds stupid.
Gave it 2 stars on Letterboxd, and that was being generous. Yeah, being generous.
Alright.
But I was like, it's not as bad as any of those Will Smith movies that I've been watching lately that I've been given like 1.5 and... You know,
you've been on there. You've been letterboxing our Will Smiths.
Yeah, after we reviewed them, then I letterboxed.
What did you give them?
For which one?
What did you give the last one?
Collateral Beauty. I think it was like 1, maybe 1.5.
Okay.
Just for his performance is the only.
And you don't write the reviews. You just give the stars.
Yeah, just give the stars.
Where do you write the reviews?
On my Medium. I haven't.
Sorry, you just.
That's for my other project. That last thing I'll be watching: Halloween Kills. Not good. No, don't waste an hour 40 of your... How fucking dare you?
You pig.
You take that back.
Burping on the mic. The idea.
You do it all the fucking time.
Yeah, but when I do it, it's funny.
last thing I've been watching, Midnight Mass.
Oh, is it good?
Oh, man, this is my shit. Let me tell you.
Is it my shit?
Yeah, you love it, man.
Sake.
Why didn't you watch it?
But she fucking started it 3 episodes in.
So you go back and watch.
I can't start it now.
You go. Is she finished it?
Yeah.
Well, you watch it then. Like, I'm sure you'd probably watch it again. This is my shit though. Like, it's weird, kind of like religious, but it's not like ghosty. But then like, it seems more like a demon type thing.
Right. I like demon stuff.
Yeah. Like, there's one point where I was like, wow, they're really showing you everything. Like, I'm 4 episodes in, I think, now.
What do you mean, showing you everything?
As in, like, what's this thing? You know, it's like sometimes when it's a monster or something, you get a glimpse of it.
Yeah.
And it, like, lingers on the shot for fucking ages. And I was like, ooh, cool. Like, some great performances.
I had that with The Haunting of Hill House. With that big, tall ghost in the hall, remember?
Yeah, that's where we stopped, because Faye was like, no.
That was too much.
Too much. That was the bit. That was the coolest bit. Because he had no feet or something. He had like and she was like,
that
no.
That was proper. I was like, ooh. Yeah, that's good.
Let's go back to that show, actually. I love Mike Flanagan.
I've seen a thing on Netflix where it was on Twitter where it's like, you can only keep 3.
Yeah.
And it had all the things. And I was going to say... Haunted of Hill House, probably the best TV horror I've seen.
Yeah.
Hereditary, probably one of the best horror movies I've seen. And Ghostbusters was one of the best movies of all time. But I'd be interested to get your... I must send it to you to see which one you'd actually pick. But yeah, Haunted of Hill House, very good.
This is very good, and it's that whole thing where it's like... What's the explanation for all this weird shit that's happening? But also, like, they put... Like, the sheriff is Muslim.
Right.
But the whole island that they're living on is Christian. And the Christian woman who's like the number 2 in the church, the like real busybody, I think she's a teacher in the school as well.
Right.
She's like, she keeps pointing out how your man would hate Christianity, the Muslim. And he's like, that's not true or whatever. But she keeps kind of cutting them off. And I know this might be offensive to you. And you're like, you're like, oh, I fucking hate you. Like, you sanctimonious...
Yeah,
bitch, like
gaslighter.
Not even that, but she's just like.
I never use that word, right?
No, gaslighting would be.
I'm accused of it plenty of times, but I don't know what it is.
If she was trying to convince him that he was like losing his mind, is like gaslighting.
Yeah, right.
So exactly what you do.
I just don't get it. I'll tell you what else I don't get. If I can just take a little side note,
sure.
This is slightly embarrassing, so I'm going to say it on the podcast.
Yeah.
When I might have said it several times. When someone says it's mild outside, I don't know what that means. And it's been explained to me a bunch. Does that mean it's cold? Like, it's a bit mild.
No.
It's a bit mild. Or does it mean it's hot? Like, yeah, it's not too bad, it's mild.
Yeah, you think it's going to be cold, but it's actually really warm.
Mild surely means cold.
No. Now it's, like, what do you mean?
It's a bit mild outside. Grab a jacket, you know?
No, it's very mild. You might need that jacket.
I don't get it. I mean, I know it now, but when someone says it in a week's time, I'll be like, It's actually that's not. No, it's not.
Does not compute.
It's not gold. Error.
File not found.
Recycling. Anyway,
Midnight Mass. Very good. I can't wait to finish it. I was watching an episode last night, and I'd started episode 4, and I was like 5 minutes in. I looked at my watch, and it's like 10 past 10. I was like, no, I got it, because they're an hour each one. I was like, no, I got to stop it, because I would stay up till 11 and then possibly 12 o'clock.
Like, is there anything better than when you think it's like 10:30 and you check your phone or whatever and it's like 9:20? You're like, oh, the whole evening
settle
here.
Settle in.
Excellent. Well, look, I don't have much else that's been going on. You might notice I got a bit of a black eye here.
I couldn't. Uh-huh. You know what it is? Uh-huh. It's because you're wearing glasses.
Yeah.
Because it was the same with my dad before when he had a black eye, and I couldn't. And then he took up his glasses like he just did there, and I was like, "Did you get a black eye?" And he's like, "I fell."
I fell.
Yeah.
Leave it.
Yeah. That's it. Like, I was like, "Yeah, okay." Like, yeah, Grant.
Don't ask questions.
Yeah. But. Is that from Jits?
It is. Now, it was a lot blacker at the weekend. Here's what went down. Actually, I don't even know what happened. I just remember getting a bang as someone was trying to take me down.
Oh, right. You weren't striking or anything?
No, but you do get a knock from time to time. But someone was going for a
Are you allowed takedown. Strike?
No.
Okay.
There is a thing called combat, I think it's called combat jiu-jitsu, where there's slaps allowed.
Oh.
I don't really care.
Slap can hurt, man.
Yeah, you're there mounted, you're slapping them
your
palm. But you get,
we used to, when we'd get drunk, we would be when we'd slap at each other,
yeah, proper. But this was, it was going for a takedown, and anyway, I got a bang or something. Locked on a guillotine, though, so.
Did you win?
Let's just say the guillotine is back.
Let's just say you're pronouncing it wrong. It's guillotine.
Whatever. You don't tell the Gilla King how to pronounce guillotine. All
right? It sounds like you're a guy that has a load of gills on your neck. The Gilla King.
Well, that too. Hey, that jiu-jitsu is making me breathe real heavy. I gotta go over here for a second.
Dunk your head.
Are you okay? I'm fine.
A bucket of water. Okay, this is our new project. This is our new script.
A man who's trying to hide the fact that he's got gills.
But he decides to take up jiu-jitsu.
I'll be over here. Well, look, Terry, should we get into what is the final?
For now.
Put it in H.
The
season recap. Now, it's been a bit of a topsy-turvy season.
Topsy-turvy year.
We have... Yeah, it's got two of my highest ranked episodes ever.
Yeah.
But also probably barring Camp Krusty, which was was our first episode, so we rated that a bit harshly. But
we were not on the curve back then.
And this was one of my least favorites ranking. So it was very up and down. You get a run of about three great ones, then it really dropped, and then back up again. So
happened here? Lightning hit the antenna.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm interested to see now where do you want to start?
Let's start with our bottom five.
Ooh, okay. Now I've got your bottom five stats wise here.
Yeah. Now I remember what I told you.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember. Okay. So what's your bottom five?
So my number five is my fifth
least favorite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was Bart After Dark.
Ding, ding, ding.
Same as you?
No, it matches your fifth.
Really?
Worst.
Holy shit.
So there we go.
This one was just a bit of... This was the first one where you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Something's a bit fishy.
Something's missing.
Yeah. It's not a terrible episode. You got some good stuff with... I like the Homer and Bart stuff in it quite a bit.
Just wasn't enough going on.
It wasn't
funny enough.
You know, me and Marge these days, Marge was kind of... Yeah, Marge is very good in it, but it was just very... meh.
Yeah,
you know
meh.
What I mean? And the premise, I could have done a lot more with, I thought.
Yeah, it was a good premise. I just think by the time it got into it, you know, it was 5 minutes to go.
Exactly. You're like, well, those. Like the whole stuff with the... I know you have to get Marge and Lisa out of there.
Yeah.
But like, it just seemed like you needed marriage back quicker or something. Like, have them go straight away, then have them come back. There was a lot of, you know, after yeah. about before you got into the whole. Messy. Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Are we going for mine now?
Yeah, you go when you're all number right. five.
Well, I'll say my Bard After Dark is my number four of my picks now.
Okay.
So that's on my bottom five too.
Yes.
My number five that I'm, and this is again just by memory, My Sister, My Sitter.
Hmm.
I just didn't quite care for
that.
And
that was on my shortlist.
I hate to be like, you know, oh, it's a Lisa episode, but like, because I remember this one more fondly than other Lisa yeah. episodes, but just in comparison to the sea, I can't remember. I mean, my score might have been a 7.8 or something like that. It didn't. Bart was really annoying. Bart was a real little shit yeah. in it.
The thing that saved that episode for me was the Homer and Marge stuff.
Yeah, on the,
but it was like two episodes just mushed together.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, it was just
they weren't really
the
related.
Tones were like flying all over the place.
That's what it was.
There's some good little bits in it, like with most Simpsons episodes. Like,
yeah,
but I was toying around when I was looking at my list. I was like, that could have easily been my number five.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I guess. Like, you, maybe it's a bit of the like rose colored glasses, but like, I remember liking it more fondly. So when I was looking at it this time, I was like, oh yeah, you know, that one, I didn't damn it as much. But
wouldn't have been your favorite, but it wouldn't have made your bottom five.
I almost did, though. That's the thing. Like,
well, what about your number four?
My number four was The Springfield Files.
Ooh, let me just see here. Terry's bottom I have here is the
oh dear.
Didn't make it in your actual rankings.
No, and I think when I was looking at it there, I was like, it probably wasn't my lowest rank, but it's the more I've thought about it when I got away from it, is the less I have enjoyed it. It seems like too corporate, to whatever. It just seems,
it's
like,
almost like the model for the later Simpsons of like, the big appeal was the guest stars
and it got huge ratings.
It was a pure ratings grab, 12 million to 20 million
yeah.
for that episode. So like, it was a huge deal and it worked.
Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Yes.
And like the episode is weird, you know, like probably when we were talking about it, like, there's funny stuff in it, but like,
yeah,
it was just, I don't know.
It didn't seem like a Simpsons episode, and even the animation I remember was a little bit different.
Yeah, and I always think of, because I remember it was a double bill with the other one, Mysterious Voyage of Homer, but yeah. like, it reminds you of the film festival episode has a great gag in it where it's like, next up, the Flintstones meet the Jetsons. And it's like, I spelled another crummy cartoon crossover.
Yeah.
And even though the X-Files isn't the cartoon, it definitely felt like
yeah.
that. You're like, this will, you know, garner ratings, or this will get them hooked. And I just felt it was too cynical or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
No, I know what you mean. And
it didn't sit. When I was looking at the list, I was like, I don't like that one now.
Yeah.
I don't like it now.
Now, I was wrong before. I was actually listing, when I said my thing was My Sister, My Sitter, that was actually my ranked one.
Right.
An error. Mine was also Bard After Dark was my fifth in terms of memory. I'm very confused. I'm confusing things.
I'm very confused.
My number four, though, was The Mysterious Voyage of Homer. So the second part of that X-Files one.
First part.
Was it the first part?
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, that one really didn't do it for me at all this time. It was like what if a bunch of different writers and animators were left in charge
of
The Simpsons?
I'm surprised that's only at your number four.
I didn't care for it.
On the table, it's my number three. And I just remember you not caring for it at all. Like,
no, I didn't like it. And I thought I'd love the trippy stuff and all this. And that's what I remember saying at the time. The trippy stuff was the least weird thing about this episode.
All the characters were like...
Ralph, like...
Yeah, Ralph.
You don't want to get wax in your mouth, do you?
Like,
yeah?
Mo being like... you know, like...
When, not talking, yeah. like...
Yeah.
See, aren't you friends?
Like Lenny's chili stand.
Just
like,
standing there.
Just standing there like... Wait, Lenny?
Part of the background.
Yeah, it's like cardboard cutout. Yeah. You just touch him when he falls over, like...
very weird episode.
Just, so that just didn't sit right with me. Again, like the high point is Johnny Cash in that, you know, doing the voice.
Great performance by Johnny Cash, I'll say.
And the trippy stuff is great as well. Like, but it was just, I was just like, what is this?
Yeah.
I know they're trying to experiment, but like, even their experiments in seasons gone past have been way more controlled.
Yeah.
You know, like,
they've worked.
Yeah. But you felt like, okay, they're experimenting, they're trying something new, but they have a hand on it.
Yeah.
This one, it was like,
let's just see if this works. Yeah, exactly.
Whoopee.
And that was your number three then, was
yeah.
it? My number three, I'm going to go with Lisa's Date with Density. I just didn't care for it. And apologies to Lisa again, but didn't like it.
This is my
go on.
Number one, Andy.
Blow
my wire.
The Skinner stuff was good, you know, like, give me your name so I can call the police. Yeah. That whole scene was funny. But the whole Nelson, Lisa, I didn't care for either of them in it, to be honest.
I just remember when we were reviewing it, I was just like, no, didn't like it. Like, the Homer, the auto dialer stuff was about the only thing. Yeah. But even that wasn't strong.
That lost a bit of its sheen.
Yeah, like, you know. Like, Wiggum was the MVP, I think, for that episode. And he's only in, like, two scenes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, guards whamping your ass around the clock.
The only way out.
It's suicide.
That got a few mentions online when I was asking the peeps. Lisa's Date with Density was, in terms of people's least favourite.
Yeah. Well, it's mine. I'm with you.
There you
go. My peeps.
Do you want to hit me with
you?
Well, I'm going to hit you with my number two. In Marge We Trust.
That's also my number two.
Hey, look at this.
And, hated it. That could have been my number one easily. I just remember, and I think I had it as my number one, and then I saw Lisa's Density, and I was like, that was the bit where Lisa's Date with Density was where I was like, oh, I'm
questioning this season.
Yeah, yeah. This one, because it came at the end, I was like, well, we've had so many of these before already, that I was like, I don't ever want to watch this one again.
Yeah.
But like, if that had come maybe earlier, I think it probably would have felt stronger.
Yeah, because it's the first big bump in the road.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was just like the whole... We talked about it only a few weeks ago, but like, there's some good stuff with Marge. Marge is the best thing about the episode. But even then, like...
Was that the one where the Mr. Sparkle was the side?
Yeah, that killed it. Like, that...
And how
any
weird.
Momentum that the episode picked up was ground to a halt by the Sparkle stuff.
And it's weird, because I'd look back on that very fondly, that whole thing, but that really went nowhere.
When you're looking at it critically, you're like, what?
They find a box, they call up, they send them the video, it explains it.
That's it.
That's literally it.
And, like, the stuff with Marge, there's some good stuff where, you know, Mo...
Yeah,
I'm asking.
Yeah.
I've lost the will to live.
Mo was great.
And it's like, oh, Mel, come this way. Tim, hold my calls. Like, some good stuff with Marge.
Yeah.
Like, and again, like, you're kind of like, I want to see the little movie where Flanders is being chased all night by these kids.
Yeah.
Like, but other than that,
he could vamoose, you know.
So let me guess your least favorite.
Go on. Full title, please.
No, I'm going to maybe...
Full title, please.
Sing a little song for you.
No, you don't need to sing. You don't need to sing.
Buy me some booze, $2 a glass. Come on, Andy, I'm freezing my ass.
Okay, that'll do. Thank you.
Move at your bum, or I'll bless your rear end. I found $2...
Blah, blah, blah.
Then come in, my friend.
Yes, you're correct. And very mass majority of the people online also ranked.
You don't know what you're talking about.
We all know what we're talking
about. You don't know what you're talking about.
You like it. I can't believe you like this.
You phony fake.
No, this was... Now, this... In all the previous episodes, there was parts I liked, but in the grand scheme of things, I didn't like it overall. I really disliked this episode.
Not love it, but I dig it.
I didn't like the songs.
I love the songs.
But I will say, a lot of people, and when I was asking them what's your favorite song of the series, a lot of people did say
Cut every corner.
Cut every corner.
It's great.
Over Can I Borrow a Feel? I'm not even getting into it. And
because Can I Borrow a Feel is not actually a good song. But
yeah,
like,
but it's, you know. Yeah, so I really just didn't like this one. Now, Terry.
I'm going to push back on you, Andy, though. Like,
okay, go on.
I think of all the crazy stuff that they're going for this year, this one for me worked the best in terms of their crazy, weird experiments.
The whole episode was just people saying, look, it's Sherry Bobbins.
It's the whole
That's
point.
It.
But like,
how is that the point?
Have
That's
you
the point
seen that, Mary Poppins?
No.
Well, there you go. Like, what?
Like, I shouldn't have to have seen that to enjoy this one. This is a
this specific example. Yeah, like, that's the whole point. Is they're doing a pastiche of Mary
Good
Poppins.
Word.
Thank you. Anyway, I will say you're all wrong. It does not even end, shouldn't even be in the meaty part of the curve, guys.
Can I give you your actual bottom five now?
Hit me.
Number five, worst one, Bard After Dark. Number four, My Sister, My Sitter. This is in terms of your actual ratings. Number three, The Mysterious Voyage of Homer.
Yeah, that marks up.
Number two, And Marge We Trust. And number one, Date with Density.
So four out of five.
So your memory matched up quite well.
Look at me.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah. mine, look at me.
Mine was Sister, My Sitter, Bard After Dark, Date with Density, In Marge We Trust, and Sherry Bobbins. So I got, apart from Date, oh no, I think, do I have all of them? Marge We Trust.
Date with Density, Bard After Dark.
Yeah. Oh, Sister, My Sitter, what did I have here?
Yeah, but you were,
anyway,
you,
whatever.
Bard After Dark, you didn't put in your lowest. You just said that
I
was.
I put in my actual. I did have it as my number four, my actual bottom.
Ah, okay.
So confusing.
You make it. I have it written. Why don't you just write it out instead of putting it all on?
I'll tell you why. Because I'm the chump who has to go back over the rankings and calculate both of our actual top fives, both of our actual bottom fives, and it's confusing. There's a lot of lists here.
Yeah, but if you have one list on paper, is that your choices, and one list of the statistics on your phone.
Don't preach to me about the benefits of paper. I'm a paperman, all right?
No, you are not.
I'm a paperman in here.
No, you're not.
All right?
Look at this. Not a scrap around.
Don't worry about
Where's
it.
Where's the notepads?
They're in your room. Don't worry about it.
Great. Can all I right. get some to go?
No. What's the next?
Maybe we should do some little sprinkling of other ones.
Okay. What about best guest star?
Okay. For me, it was down to between one or two. I ended up punting for Rodney Dangerfield.
Ooh, yes. You got a few mentions online too.
Hey, who am I talking to? Don't you love me, Pop?
As our pal Bill said, Bill Oakley, season showrunner.
Season 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm, said that, yeah, that was the one character that they knew they were writing
They're writing
for
him, yeah. And I just think it's a great performance. Like, it's just, he's everything I wanted from a Rodney Dangerfield cameo, you know?
Yeah, it is. If you know he's going to be in it, you basically want Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm so lazy, I took lessons on a player piano. Well, I'm like a rug on Valium. I'm talking lazy. Hey, Skipper, good to meet you. Where'd you start out, on the Merrimack? Hey, I should talk. I hope I look that good when I'm 200.
That's such insult.
Larry, you must meet our daughter, the debutante. She came out last spring.
Whoa, put her back in. She's not done yet. Pull up a seat, Pop. You too, Chuckles. I mean, the food ain't great, but the portions are terrific. Hey, I'm kidding. Relax. Hey, give my regards to Mrs. Boyardee.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So he was my favorite. It's just so many good lines.
Yeah,
from like
he was up there for me, but I mean there was actually a lot when I actually wrote them all down. You've got Albert Brooks as Scorpio, mm-hmm. Dangerfield, John Lovitz, Johnny Cash, Gillian Anderson,
Duchovny,
Jack Lemmon, Alex Rocco, John Waters, Kelsey Grammer, David Hyde Pierce, Dave Thomas, Frank Welker, Bret Hart, Willem Dafoe.
It's a lot.
So it's a lot. I'm gonna go with Jack Lemmon as Frank Ormond.
Oh, good just, one.
I love that character. Yeah. And it was less about the guest. It was more, you know. Like,
but it was perfect.
Yeah, you know what I
mean? The casting was perfect.
Perfect.
Oh, hello, I'm Frank Ormond. And if you're watching me, that means you've got pretzel fever. And not the kind that attacked my intestinal lining some years back. So let's get your franchise up and running.
I never realized before this time, like, how much of a, like, I don't know, shyster, for lack of a better word, that he was.
Frank Ormond was.
Yeah. And, like, I know they based the character of Gil around Jack Lemmon and Glengarry Glen Ross, but I was getting serious. Jack Lemmon in Glengarry Glen Ross off this guy who's like this desperate salesman. Yeah. Like,
and just that whole like, so let's get started.
Like, check for millipedes. Because it's like his screen time is not
he's
loads,
only in like kind of two like longish
it's
scenes.
It's not bread. Get it? Yeah,
not bread. So yeah, he was brilliant. So I would give it to him. Excellent showings from pretty much all the guests this year, though. Yeah. Alex Rocco as Roger Myers, I thought was brilliant.
So good. He's always great.
That's right. That's him, wasn't it?
Mo Green gets whacked. One through the eye.
Yes, that's it. So yeah, good stuff. Now, best one-off.
I mean, there can be only one.
I mean, do we even need to go through the list? But
Scorpio, the stingy with his dreams and powers. And
go on. See,
prepare for Scorpio.
Yeah, Scorpio. Yeah. And everyone voted Scorpio as well.
Speaking of Bond, Mr. Bond.
Exactly. Now, again, you've got Shari Bobbins, Larry Burns, Belle from the Burlesque House, Frank Ormond, Mountain Ranger, which is a very close one. Very close.
I'll tell you what he's not here for. The Mountain Music Festival. March 14th, 18th. Even the other guy.
Brilliant.
I'll tell you, there's two other ones. It, like, if we were doing like obscure characters, it would be there's two in that episode, two in that next scene where it's like, I was just so happy to see you. He was like, right here, sir, behind the drunk.
Quietly drunk. Rex Banner, Frank Grimes.
I mean, Grimey was like, you know, would have been. If we did performance of the season.
Yeah.
Like, that would be my performance.
We probably should have.
Yeah.
Let's just say, performance of the season.
Yeah.
Hank Azaria?
Yeah.
As Frank Grimes. But best one-off character, Hank Scorpio. It's got to be.
You will notice, my new best friend, that we are pretty casual around here.
Yes, sir. I will notice that. Very casual, Mr. Scorpion.
Don't call me Mr. Scorpion. It's Mr. Scorpio, but don't call me that either. Call me Hank! Say, before we continue our tour, would you mind hanging my coat up on the wall, please?
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Relax, Homer. At Globex, we don't believe in walls. Matter of fact, I didn't even give you my coat.
Hmm? Wow.
But again, like he's so good.
Yeah.
Al Brooks, he's, you know.
God. Everyone he plays in The Simpsons is just absolutely out, like, it's almost flawless. Like, him as Brad
Goodman,
flawless. Yeah. Scorpio,
I'm glad flawless. You're down to one as opposed to 50.
There's no trick to it. It's just a simple trick.
He's in the new episode of Curb.
Is he?
Playing himself.
Brilliant.
He's great.
Great. All right. Best secondary character, Terry? As in, not a member of the family.
I plumped for, and it's an apt use that word, Chief Pigum.
I guess it is kind of
funny.
Yeah, he'd be mine too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wiggum excels.
He's in the pocket this season.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, they're going to overuse him
in
the next couple of years. But this one, I was like, even in, you know, like, the Lisa's date with Density, he's the best one. I was thinking,
he
like...
He feature a lot, this, actually, didn't he?
Yeah, but, like...
The Banner one, the...
Spin-off,
you know,
showcase. Spin-off. Yeah, you get...
Canine Mutiny.
Yeah,
like,
you get... him in the last episode we did, you know, with the, like, sorry,
yeah,
California cheeseburger. Like, everything, he's just, like, he's just nailing it.
Yeah, he was used to perfection in this season, I think.
Yeah. Like,
And where, in previous seasons, it would have been like Skinner, Mo, Krusty.
He would have been, you know, maybe like floating around, but he wasn't used. He wasn't used. That's the thing. Like the Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2. And I was like, oh, I used to love that episode. And you're like, oh, I don't really like that episode, watching it the second time or third time, whatever.
I think I liked it more than the first.
I loved the Part 1.
Flip-flopped on that one.
But Pig 'em for me, yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Excellent.
And like, even the one with Skinner and Krabappel, and when they're like, you know, Grade School Confidential.
Yeah.
It's like, the baby looked at you? And he's like, Sarah, get me Superintendent Chalmers. He's like, thank you, Sam. Yeah. Like little things like that. Like,
he was used. Like, yeah. there was never a scene where I was like, ah, that didn't work.
Yeah. You know, that's it. Like,
it worked every time.
He was hitting it out of the park.
What about best song, Terry?
Well, you already mentioned it, Andy.
Go on. Cut Every Corner.
It is really not so bad. Everybody Most people said that. Does it. Even mom and dad.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
If nobody sees it, then nobody gets mad. It's the American way. The policeman on his feet. Okay, right.
I'll be playing it on the pod. Yeah. So, yeah, you don't have to say.
Fighting crime is not my cup of tea.
If you cut every corner, it is really not so bad. Everybody does it, even mom and dad. If nobody sees it, then nobody gets mad.
It's the American way.
The policeman on the beat needs some time to rest his feet.
Fighting crime is not my cup of tea.
And the clerk who runs the store can charge a little more for meat.
For meat.
And milk.
And milk.
From 1984.
I mean, look, it was good.
Not according to you.
It's not my favourite, but you know.
And you're picking out Can I Borrow a Feeling?
Do you know what? No.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with The Love Medic Grandpa.
Hey.
Great. There's something about it that just makes me smile. While shopping for some cans, an old man passed away. He floated up to heaven, but got lost along the way.
Now he's the Love Medic Grandpa.
Great. I mean, it's short, but sweet.
Yeah.
I thought it was excellent.
The songs were very good this year.
Mentions When I Was 17, I think, was on this season.
No.
No? At 17? I said it's
at
season 8.
At 17.
What's At 17?
It's the Janice Ian, you know. And then to look at 17.
Oh, that's not an original song.
No, but it was when Homer, it's the Chili episode where he's like wandering around trying to find
Marge's hair and shit.
No.
Wasn't it around that?
No, it was like he's like looking for a soulmate, and it's like him following the night.
Right. Well, there's Can I Borrow a Feeling? We Put the Spring in Springfield. Great song.
Never did it for me. Like,
I quite like that one. Cut Every Corner. Minimum Wage. Nanny, from the same episode. Poochie's Rap.
Which is Minimum Wage Nanny?
You know, the one that Bart and Lisa sing.
Oh, no fat chicks. That's the worst one in that episode.
And the Candy Medley. And the Simpsons Smile Time Variety Hour. So, like, some great songs, but I think it's possibly the weakest season for songs. Dare I say?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I can't think offhand, but I remember the list being a lot tougher.
Yeah.
Last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I guess. Like,
you know, but
is there anything we're missing?
I don't think
list?
So.
No.
I was pretty thorough.
Oh.
So
he's a good man and thorough.
All right, Terry. Best.
Let's do our top five and then let's do our MVP of the season.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I was going to say best main character, but is that kind of tying in with the MVP?
I think so.
Okay. We'll wait for that. Okay. So.
Top five.
Top five. Track ones, side ones. What's your five from memory?
Number five from memory is Homer's enemy.
Solid.
Yeah.
I mean, solid. One of the most solid episodes
very
they've ever done.
Very solid, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's just. We did it a few weeks ago. I thought I was not going to enjoy it as much, but God. It's the character development of Grimes that, like, really helps along. And then the juxtaposition of, like, Homer's obliviousness.
Yeah.
And also, like, even, like, the support players are, like, really funny. Like,
Lenny and Carl are funny.
Brinsey's funny, you know? Like, yeah. He's like, my priceless asset. You know? Yeah. The whole thing with the dog. Bard and Milhouse.
The factory, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you got all that. And then you got, like, the great performance by Hank Azaria as Grimes. And
yeah,
just
best
how... I love when it goes dark and bold. And, like, when it finishes with him killing himself by accident. And then literally the last thing is the coffin being lowered down.
They're laughing almost, at him as his coffin's coming. It's, like, it's a really dark ending. Like, yeah, like, really good.
Yeah.
And that's if anything, that's just gives it that little edge. Is that ending? I think if they'd have kind of done a, because remember they went through a period in this season of just having those endings of like you so crazy, and like not really ending it. Like this was a proper like, oh, the ending even made everything that came before it even funnier.
Yeah, it loops it around almost. Yeah.
Now I will say this didn't feature in your actual top five.
Yeah,
would you believe?
Yeah, I would believe it. Oh, okay. What did I give it? Like a 9 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But I know that it was,
you had about 3 or 4 9s. Yeah. That would have been your joint 6th.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
I'd say that was one of them.
Okay. I am going to go with Homer's enemy, number 5.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Was that in your top 5?
That was in my actual top 5. No, it wasn't.
Wow.
Both of us. Yeah, look at us. I mean,
a bit of recency bias towards Grimey.
I know. Fantastic episode. I mean, you pretty much nailed it on the head. What about you? Number 4, best of the season.
I went back and forth on my 5 and 4. I ended up going with Milhouse.
Sorry, I did have this in my actual. Sorry.
Okay, in your top 5? Yeah. Where was it?
Number 4.
Okay. I went with Milhouse Divided for number 4.
Okay.
And I just thought, like, it is just a really good episode of television. Never mind The Simpsons or whatever like that. Like, tells a story that, you know, start to finish.
Yeah.
Kind of, you're focusing on Kirk and Luann, but also they do a great trick about halfway through it of, like, morphing that into a Homer and Marge story.
Yeah.
You know?
But that storyline gets parked a little bit. But
Homer picks up the baton. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
This was in your top 5,
was
I would
it?
Say. Yeah.
Where was it?
Number 5.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So.
I just thought it was great. And, like, you're really starting to see Kirk, you know, as... Like, pretty much before this, you have him as, like, he's the guy, the 2 spaghetti dinners...
Yeah.
Or like when they go to Shelbyville, he's like, I grew up in Shelbyville and it just makes me mad. Yeah. You know, but like little, like not a lot. And this is the one where it's like breakout performance.
There's something about Kirk where he's just like he adds a little like
but another bit of like darkness, danger or whatever.
Yeah, but even like the way he talks, like with that Shelbyville thing, it's like it's always like and it tears me up inside. Yeah. He always gives that little like and then says something, you know what I mean? Like,
you're letting me go.
Yeah, I'll be back. Probably.
Yeah, again, another fantastic ending where it was like, oh, okay. And they kept it.
And that was that, I wasn't back to normal next
Which
week.
Which is great. I love that.
One of the first times they've probably done that, really.
Where they didn't just hit the reset button at the end, like, you know?
You know?
I thought just so many good, like, again, like, the character development of, like, even Luann, where it's like, she's gone.
It's like, forget everything you knew about Luann Van Houten. Actually, I don't know you at all.
It's like, kaboom, sweet Vanny Adam. And you're like, marriage is like the, you know, the avatar for us. We're like, actually, I don't really know anything about you. Like, forget it. Forget it, marriage. She's gone.
All right. I'm going to say my number four is Homer versus the 18th Amendment. The Bee Baron.
Didn't make it on my list, I will say.
I just thought it was great. I mean,
he would have been up for best performance as well for me.
Rex Banner, Dave Thomas.
Yeah,
he absolutely killed it. Rex Banner was such a great addition to it. I just love the whole stuff of Homer, that like Homer and Moe's dynamic, where Homer's helping out Moe with the thing, the pet shop thing. The
very bawdy episode, as we said.
Yeah,
plenty of delicious cock.
Never got that until you said it.
It was never in it, though. That was the thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was never in it. Like, cock, plenty of delicious cock.
And then the whole thing of just like that, like, even the little things of, like, you know, 50 bathtub or 42 bathtubs, you know, it's 50 for $3,000.
I said 42. some blind tiger jerking suds on the side.
That's one of my favorites. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yes.
And I say it plain and simple. Would you pinch the hooch?
It's like, Banner, if you mean root beer, then
plead gill diddly ill he is jar diddly ar.
Not the beer baron, but he might be drunk. Lock him up.
Like, what about your number three?
Hey, it's Burns Baby Burns.
Hey, yeah. And it did make it into your actual top five.
Nice.
At number four.
I loved it. I loved the episode. Gave Burns, like, when Burns is used right and given the spotlight, I think it works perfectly. But it's a good story as well, of, like, you know, the father and the son, the fact that it is Rodney Dangerfield just playing, you know, Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
But, like, him and Homer, like, Homer is endearing in it, which is always a plus for me.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that they have such a close bond so quickly, like, somebody that's exactly like him, and then they become best buddies.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, there's so many funny bits. It's just really funny episode. Like, even Wiggum as well, where it's like, we got the number, chief. He's like, 555. Oh, that's gotta be phony. Like,
or what about, like, when they're having dinner and he's like, hey, what's the matter, pup? I'm getting frostbite over here. He's like, you food bag.
He's like, well, I can't even remember what he says.
Like, does your son never bring home half wits or whatever like that? It's like,
no, that, he's like, make with a yuckity yuck yuck. And he's like, yakety yak yak, you food bag.
Or he's food, like, bag.
He's watch. He's like the playroom. And he's like, a man's not a piece of fruit. He's
like,
this play was supposed to close.
Yeah, what's going on?
Close this play. Close it, I say. And he's like, you guys are all right.
Yeah, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. How about a hand for your mom? She's all right.
That's it as well. Like,
so really good stuff.
Yeah, and it's just like, it ends in a weird way.
This one, I'll allow it.
That's the thing, like, you know? Because it's kind of a, like, it's a well done, I don't want to say like bizarro world episode, but, like, you know, the character is such an odd character.
Yeah.
And the way it's just like, they just kind of, I know it kind of seemed like lazy writing, but it doesn't come off that
it's
way.
It's fine for this particular one, because the stuff that was before kind of
was also strong.
Yeah. You know, like, so.
But that, like, also with, like, strains credulity, where it's like,
good word,
thank you, where he,
what's that mean,
like, you're like, this is incredulous, you straining credulity.
Oh, well, I don't understand it. I don't understand it, but I like it.
Where the fact that he's like, I got a wife and kids at home, I don't know, I was going out for milk 4 days ago.
Yeah
you know, that kind of stuff, and you're like, it all seems to fit. It all seems part of this world they've created for this episode.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes when they end it, like the Mysterious Voyage episode, where it's like, hey, who wears short shorts? Like, you're like, no. You're like, what? I don't like this. Whereas with this one, in fact, it was Journey. Anywhere you want.
Because it was a banging song. Yeah. And I like the fact that it differs from the Mulder and Scully aspect, because that was already hugely popular on Fox. Like, Fox are putting their two biggest shows. The fact that Rodney Dangerfield wouldn't have necessarily been, like,
I never knew who he was till, like, first time I was watching it, you know what I mean? Like, like, tuning in to see Rodney. He's so good as well. Like,
it really works. My number three, Brother from Another series.
I had him in there and I took him out.
It was Sideshow Bob's, I think we were saying best episode.
One, definitely, yeah.
Cecil was a great addition. And they didn't ram it down your throat, though, the whole Frasier thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? They played it just right.
They're skirting that line perfectly. Yes. And, like, even, you know, the fact that they had... You might say they're skirting it perfectly, but, like, they stamp it on your forehead at the start, and then that's it, where it's like, yeah. Frasier is a hit sitcom on the NBC network or whatever, and they have the music, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I just love this one where, like, Bob is one episode where Bob's not actually trying to, and they're obsessed with him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
and there's a lot of good stuff,
like that whole stuff of, like, especially Lisa, especially Lisa, but especially Bart,
coveralls that don't quite coverall, and a psychotic little boy that won't stop leaving with this boy.
It's like, he's gone to heaven, Mr. Dwilligan.
Oh, cousin Merle.
Really? So yeah, just quality.
The stuff. Back and forth between Bob and Cecil as well.
Yeah.
Yes, the Cappadocians, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, like,
or Krusty's, like, the pie gag, the free comedy tips stick. Like, you can say that all the time.
Yeah. It's like, only works when the sap's got dignity.
Yeah.
Like, Lord Autumn Bottom over there.
What about you? Number two?
Homer's Phobia.
Ooh. And I'll tell you, it was your number two.
Was it?
Yes.
Wow. I just remember really, really liking this episode. I didn't think I was going to before we watched it. Like, but Jesus, you know what makes it so good is that, like, it's not a caricature.
Yeah.
It's thoughtful. They put a lot of work into it.
I remember
you
saying that at the time, that, like, it's not a caricature of like super, like, you know.
He's just a guy. Camp. He's just a guy who's, like, gay, but, like, he's just a guy, you know. Yeah.
And he's not even... The fact that it's like... That he's not even getting as worked up as Homer. Like, when he has a right to be. You know, it just really, you know, brings that character to life a bit more, you know?
And he's very funny.
Yeah.
You know? They mine a lot of comedy from the situations.
Yeah.
Like you say, it's sweet. Like, Homer and John, like, dancing in the background. You know, like... You are the living end. And then, like... Even, like... I don't know, you could talk about this, but maybe every Simpsons episode, but, like, there's always, like, deliveries from this episode that, like, stick with me.
Yeah.
And it's like Marge and the bottle, and it's like, it's a Johnny Reb bottle. Like,
yeah. Oh,
no.
And you get another string to Smithers' bow, where it's like, you know, great, like, so this is your sick mother.
Don't do this to me, Waylon.
Yeah, like, that's a big one for Smithers at the time.
100%. And, like, the way... Like, the only bits that, like, I didn't really care for were, it's like, Mo, funnily enough, I know it's of his character, where he's like, I'll do anything. Or, like, you know, we got saved by a sissy, you know.
Yeah, we'll never live it down.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But I guess for the characters, it makes sense.
Makes sense for them.
Like, the whole fucking anvil.
Yeah.
I saw it through a completely different lens this time around, where it was like, before you just think, oh, you know, the joke is that they're gay.
Yeah.
And this time around, the joke is, this is what, like, Homer's idea of gay.
It's like
is.
His worst nightmare.
His idea of gay.
He goes in hard, like, in this one, where he's like, you know, I don't like you people, you know, all this sort of stuff. And he's really, like, he's really going.
Xenophobic.
Yeah, like, really, more than I remember. You know, I remember thinking, like, oh, like, Homer doesn't like he's gay, huh? Because when you're, like, 10, like, calling someone gay is funny at the time. But when you're an adult watching it, it's like, you know, like, Jesus, Homer's really, like, I didn't remember him being this aggressive about it, you know?
Not to harp on, it might just go well with this thing, because I rewatched a bit of that Dave Chappelle thing just because we were talking about it last week, and I was like, maybe, you know, I need to, like, have another look, and I was like, no at all, that, like,
after you watched it again,
then I was just like, oh, fucking hell, like,
now can I ask, like because Kerry was asking me about it, and I was like, I said maybe I wasn't paying attention, I have a habit of doing that, but I said maybe, but, like, I couldn't see a bit where even I could see someone saying, oh, that's the bit, or that's, you know,
that's
I
the joke. It's
it
not.
Just wasn't funny. I like that was my big gripe, but it just wasn't funny.
What? Yes, but,
like, I couldn't give her like an example of, oh well, at one stage he said this. Like, I'm sure people took that up wrong or something. Yeah. I couldn't see what I mean as part of the material. It was more about him trying to redeem himself after this, talking about his battle with versus the trans group or whatever, like whatever.
And so much with the gay, you know, community as well. Yeah. Where it was just like.
See, I didn't think anything, like, honestly, I didn't think anything was in really poor taste in it. I just didn't think it was good.
Yeah.
Like, is that...
No, because if you think about where he came, what his comedy used to be, and he would all be punching up, you know? Yeah. And, like, that's what comedy, in my opinion, if you're gonna make fun of stuff, it should be punching up as opposed to punching down.
Yeah.
That's an easy target. I don't think that's very good comedy, and I don't think it makes very good comedy.
Yeah.
And I just remember it, like, just thinking about Homer's phobia, and if you're going to make jokes relating to a marginalized community, the person who is the xenophobic one has to be the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
Which is what Homer is in this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the Dave Chappelle stuff, that, and again, like, people listen to this, they're a fan of Dave Chappelle. I was a huge fan of him before as well.
Like,
it really, like, I'm really disappointed. And it kind of starts off, sets the tone where he's like, first, let me say, I'm rich and famous.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that's what it is. He's rich and famous and he doesn't like being told what to do.
That he can't say.
Yeah, right. He doesn't like being told what to do.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Whatever. You have the right to say, use your platform for whatever. But people have the right to react a certain way to that.
Yeah.
And like, he's like saying, like, oh, I made a documentary at being pulled from all these film festivals because of the communities or whatever reaction to it. And I'm like, yeah, but your words have consequences, you know? Like, you're like...
See, I think the stuff that was in his previous specials, people had more of a right to get like, because he was directly joking, making jokes about that in the previous, like, I could, like, maybe I just wasn't paying attention to a lot of it, but I didn't feel like he was joking.
No, but they're not joking, though. That's the thing.
But, like, it just wasn't funny. It was a comedy show, and it wasn't funny. That was my big gripe with it, to be honest. But,
and,
you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like at one point, he talks about, like, beating up a woman in it, and I'm like...
I don't remember.
Like, that's, he was, like, saying, I was like, oh, and she said... Dave Chappelle beat me up because I'm a lesbian. And he's like, that's not true. He's like, I did beat her up, but it wasn't because she was a lesbian. And like, people are cracking up and laughing about this. And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
But he's just talking about how, like, he, you know, he beat the shit out of a woman. Yeah. And this is a joke, you know? Like, that's what I can't wrap my head around.
Yeah.
You know? This is something that happened. And I'm like, okay, I guess.
That kind of
hate is kind of just like... All right, I don't have enough time.
Left a bad taste in your mouth.
Really, yeah, because maybe, I was thinking about, like, maybe I am...
Because so many people were going, like, yeah, it's great.
Am I too sensitive? And I went back and kind of had another look at it. I was like, no, I don't think I am being too sensitive here. So
I think
while
you're...
we were skirting around the topic. Like,
that's good. I'm glad to sort of put a bow on
it. And he, you know what it is as well? Like, he's outdated.
Mm.
Like, you know, he used to be, like, such a, like... One of the things he talked about was like...
Isn't that mad though, that, like, sorry to interrupt, but like, I was thinking this because like, I see him and I see, like, I've stopped listening to Joe Rogan the last couple of years.
Yeah, another one, like...
But I kind of feel like, you know, it's mad how the culture has changed so quick, because I don't think either of them are actually doing or saying, unless, now again, I haven't really listened to him in a while, so maybe he's gone off on mad rants these days. But like, from what I've seen, it doesn't seem like they've changed or done or saying things that they weren't saying before. But it's mad how there's a lot more of a culture shift now.
I think people are just like realizing that, like, no one listened to this shit.
It was quick. It was a very quick shift, you know what I mean?
But like, I don't, like, there's a certain section in society that was large and is probably, or that now growing smaller.
Yeah.
Because people are like, I don't, like, after everything we've been through the last couple of years, you know, like, why the fuck would I want to listen to some guy fucking spewing hate about, like, and that's just what Joe Rogan He's an angry, comedian. You're a pussy if you don't do the, if you're not an alpha.
Yeah.
Who has time? I think that's probably what it is. Time for that now after how many people died from this virus or whatever? You realize, ugh, life's too fucking short to be listening to this shite.
I found when I was listening to Rogan that it was like, I'm not enjoying the vibe here at all. Yeah. He gets very for someone who's a comedian, he's not really funny.
I've never found a stand-up funny.
And I found one or two of his earlier ones funny, but I was like he really can't take if someone's criticism. Joking at his expense.
Yeah.
He can't really take that, or he'll, you know what I mean? You can just see it in him. Like, he has to be the controlling the situation.
He has to be the alpha.
I would much rather listen to, and like, generally, I find I'm dialing back on a lot of American podcasts, to be honest. Yeah. Maybe like maybe it's just that little section of comedians. Over the
film Twitter, man. There's a load of lovely film podcasts to listen to. Bunch of soft boys. Nice boys that to talk about movies and how much they like movies, Andy.
Well, look, can we get back on track? Sure.
Number two. That was my number two.
Okay, my number two is You Only Move Twice. The Hank Scorpio episode.
Wow.
Not my number one, if you recall.
I don't recall. I thought it was definitely your number one.
I gave it a 9.8, but I gave another one a 9.9, if you recall.
I don't. Fuck.
But, I mean, an all-time classic. What can I say that hasn't been said? Like, one of my favorite jokes ever.
I give you my coat.
The shit-eating grin. And I just love how nice Scorpio is. That's just what makes him. Like, he's so helpful and nice. But he's also an evil super.
But Homer's just not picking up on the other stuff. Again, that's the genius of the premise of the whole episode.
So it's just, just such a good
Bond. That's my number one. You got Bond. You got the whole thing.
Yeah.
The 59th Street Bridge collapsed on its own. You got 48 hours.
Yeah.
You got the hammock. The hammock,
Sir, I need to know where I can get some business hammocks.
Hammocks? My goodness, what an idea.
Why didn't I think of that? Hammocks! Homer, there's four places. There's the Hammock Hut. That's on third.
Uh-huh.
There's Hammocks or Us. On third, too. You got Put Your Butt There.
Mm-hmm.
That's on third.
Yeah.
Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
Right.
Matter of fact, they're all in the same complex. It's the Hammock Complex down on third.
Oh, the Hammock District.
That's right. You know, there's a little place called Mary Ann's Hammocks. The nice thing about that place is Mary Ann gets in the hammock with you. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
You know who invented the hammock, Homer?
No.
That's something for you to do. Find that out.
Good thing about Mary Ann's hammock, she gets in the hammock with you.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Albert Brooks just knocking it out of the park again.
That's it. Mr. Scorpion. Don't call me that. My name's Mr. Scorpion. Don't call me that either.
Every line, it's one of those episodes where every line he delivers is probably quotable.
His delivery is impeccable. He's punching everything when he needs to punch it. He's hitting...
He's a pro.
He is. He's a comedy genius outside of The Simpsons. A lot of people probably only know him from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But the stuff he's done outside of it is just amazing as well. Maybe we should do a What's Up Great with Albert Brooks.
Well, that's your number one then, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I gave it a 9.8, did I?
I think you did, yeah. I am going to go on to my number one then.
Can I just guess
go on.
What it is? Give me the episode number.
Okay, hold on. Wasn't ready for that.
I don't have my phone in front of me.
Episode number... roughly 10. 11.
11? I remember you being...
It's the one after the Springfield Files, I'll tell you that.
Huh.
What you got, Terry?
Nope. I'm drawing a...
The Twisted World of Marge Simpson.
Fuck!
And someone on Twitter said that was their least favorite.
I did see that.
I had a lot of restraining to do.
Yeah.
I was like, he said it was... No, not to... everyone's got their opinion. But the criticism that I read on Twitter, someone said one of the least quotable episodes.
There's a lot in there,
Hall of Famer Whitey Ford. You've got Royce McCutcheon. You've got...
no toys for McCutcheon.
Yeah, you've got... You have 12 hours.
Yeah.
There's so much going on.
Where is the money, Andy?
Yeah, why aren't you getting the money now?
Yeah. And so on and so forth.
Yeah, you've got, obviously, Frank Ormond. Yeah. Like, it's just... Like, I remember being blown away, Terry, by this episode.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I think you gave it a 9.
One of those ones, you know, that...
Yeah, it would have been your 6.
Yeah.
But I remember just, I laughed so hard the whole way through this episode.
And the 1997 Pontiac Astrowagon goes to the fan sitting in seat number 0001C, Montgomery Burns.
Yeah! The fans do not like this one bit.
And here comes Pretzel.
Oh, no. No, don't do that. You're supposed to be tasting them.
Hall of Famer Whitey Ford now on the field, pleading with the crowd for some kind of sanity.
Uh-oh, and a barrage of pretzels now knocking Whitey unconscious.
Wow, this is a black day for baseball.
I think this is my favorite episode of all time, to be honest. I haven't ranked anything a 9.9.
Hot damn. I mean, I've ranked one that's a 9.9.
Yeah, which is your favorite, right?
Of course.
But yeah, I thought it was fucking excellent. Makes me smile even just thinking about it.
Great episode.
Yeah.
Maces and gimbals.
Maces gone, Marge.
You're gimbals.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Wow.
Should we, on that bombshell, Owen, should we get into our MVP of the season?
I think you know who mine's going to be.
Mine might be the same.
Marge!
Yes!
Yeah!
Yes, Terry.
It was really like creeping up at the end of season 7 and fucking hell.
She's great.
Yeah, she's so good.
She was brilliant in this
season. So good.
Never thought in a million years I'd be giving my MVP to Marge, to be honest.
But she was just knocking everything out of the park. And it was just like, we talked about her in earlier seasons being like this kind of weird, like, oh, yeah, Marge is there. And then, like, she just pop
what
up.
What about with, Ghost?
Yeah. But, like, little things like that, like, where she'd pop up with these kind of weird, non sequitur jokes. Like, the potatoes. Like, I just think they're neat.
Yeah.
You know? And in this season, there's just so many
of
them that I was like, wow. She's like, it made me smile.
Yeah.
Every time she was on, like, you know, because they gave her kind of a more of a darker shade or something like that in terms of, like, or like a, you know, bit more edgier or something like that. You know?
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't just nagging Homer. You know what I mean?
Like, it wasn't just a one note nag, like, as her bit of the episode. I found myself just smiling when Marge was.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Marge is here. I never thought I'd be. Like, I always, as a kid, was always like Lisa and Marge. Maybe because I was a boy and they were girls.
Maggie too. Cut them all out.
You know. Marge fucking killed it in this season.
Homer was great as well. Like, Homer's always like great. Homer is the best Simpsons character.
I think we gave him our MVP the last
four years
in a row.
Yeah.
This is
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. Fifth one.
Yeah. So the previous four were Homer.
Yeah.
So we'll give this one.
You can't not be like really like. But yeah, it was a fitting way to end it.
Excellent.
How far we've come.
Well, look.
This is it.
I don't know what to say.
Well, look. We can, I guess, talk about what's coming next.
Yes.
So we're moving the Patreon series, What's So Great About, over to the main feed. So. Like you say, you don't need to do anything.
Uh-huh.
The logo will change. The name of your feed will change. But your content, although it's
will also change.
It's still going to be me and him, though.
So we love doing the What's So Great About stuff on the Patreon. So, and like, it's probably our favorite thing to do. A lot of people who are on the Patreon, it's their favorite thing that we do. It just makes sense. Like, we have more fun doing it, realistically. As much as fun as this is.
We just felt that, you know, we were hitting a rocky road here with season 8. 9 is not going to get much better.
Yeah.
10, I think, will be a fucking dumpster fire. So, you know. But it's not to say we're never going to come back to The Simpsons. People have talked about us. Maybe, if they could come on and talk about it, like an episode we haven't done before. Yeah. We've got, I think,
a lot of season three requests as well. If I think if we were to come back, I'd like to do some select season three episodes, you know.
But our first mini series, when we, I guess what, we're taking next week off, so the week after next, our relaunch, our rebranding,
hey-o,
rising like a phoenix from Arizona. Is going to be What's So Great About Netflix? Mm-hmm. Because we've had the question, folks, why do we all still subscribe to Netflix? Like, what is so good about it? Like, is it...
It's slipping.
Or is it, though, is the question. You know, I mean, I just talked about fucking Midnight Mass. I fucking love that. Like, that's dropped there. It was pretty, like, Squid Game was another one that was fucking...
True.
You know, so, like, we decided that we're going to take six movies each, six Netflix originals each. Andy's going to pick six. I'm going to pick six. And we're going to see what the ratio is like. Are they, is it 12 hits or is it...
Yeah.
I can't imagine it'll be 12 misses.
No, and we're very, like, this is, I mean, I was just complaining last week about, I'm sick of watching bad movies.
Yeah.
So, I've picked out, and I tell you what, there's a few movies that I've picked out where I'm like, oh, I'm very excited to watch this. And I don't get like that for a lot of movies, so. And also, we're going to put the list out there in advance. So, because there probably will be spoilers. There definitely will be spoilers.
Oh, 100%.
In the episodes, because we'll be talking, we'll be reviewing the movies. So, we're just going to do the Netflix movies, but we'll put out the list so you'll get a chance well in advance to watch. And
it's not like, what we're talking about. On the Patreon, you'd normally get 2 weeks if we said, oh, what's coming up next? You get 2 weeks if you wanted to watch along the next Marvel movie or whatever it is. This is week to week, baby.
Yeah.
And
once you're right there with us.
I will tell you, I seem to be skewering on the more arty side of things, the more Oscar-y, shall we say, prestige.
The length of some of your picks. I'm like, fucking, he never stops with these 2.5 hours.
Don't let that deter you. No, I will. You got to go in with an open mind.
But I'm deterred.
You got to go in with an open mind, Andy.
I've come at it with a bit of a horror slant.
I knew you would, and there's a couple that I wanted to put on my list, but then I was like, it's a good chance Andy will pick them, so don't waste the pick. We can still get one more Oscar one in there.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah,
no, it'll be good. Yours will be good, I'm sure.
I'm sure
yours will. Mine will definitely be
good. I've given Andy, the gracious mastermind that I am, I've given Andy first choice. So we're kicking off in 2 weeks' time with...
In the Tall Grass.
Yes, sir.
And I tell you... When I seen the trailer for this, I was like, I said, fucking hell yeah. Now, it's my exact sort of movie that I love. It's a horror. It's set in like one spot. Basically, they're fucking trapped in long grass.
Why Cube? Do you remember Cube?
No.
Oh, you don't remember Cube?
No.
You wake up in a cube.
Oh, it's that sort though, you know what I mean?
And
I tell you, I wish I hadn't seen The Platform, because I would have slapped that on the table as well.
The Platform is supposed to be great. I still haven't got around to it. That's a Netflix original too.
But in the Tall Grass, it's they're stuck in one spot. Love that. It looked like it was a bit of a mess with your mind sort of horror. Like, is this real? Like, oh no, we were just here. What's going on? Love all that. There's some extra element of doom when you've got that, like, oh, this isn't just a misunderstanding. Like, we're fucked here.
Yeah.
You know, one of those sort of, like, I get really excited about those sort of
Who's
movies.
Who's in it? I thought it was Jane, but it's actually Patrick Wilson. My man.
You got another one of your men.
Patrick Wilson is great.
So that gives you about 2 weeks to watch it, folks.
It's a Stephen King adaptation.
So
Netflix doing a lot of them.
So we'll see. So we're going to be reviewing that one weeks' time.
Yeah, so on and so forth.
What that also means, if you're a patron, is the Patreon's going to be changing. So we're doing our last Will Smith one this week.
Yeah.
And then we must actually talk about the order of them, but we're going to be doing movie commentaries. We're going to be doing a radio show. We're going to be doing...
some more of our top fives or whatever.
Top fives, random ones.
I want to do another Pitch It and H.
Oh, I'd love to do a Pitch It and
H. There you go. Like,
and a Pitch It and H.
Yeah. All right. But... We also have stuff from our previous mini-series will be going on the Patreon. So, like, we're going to put Loki, What If, and Black Widow still to be reviewed on the Patreon as well. Andy, you got some watching to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Is Black Widow available now?
Oh, yeah, it's been available for a while. I haven't said it because we've been finishing up this.
Okay,
thing,
good. Like, I'll watch it.
We can get Black Widow in soon as well. Like, people want to hear how you feel about that because I think Shang-Chi will be coming soon. And
oh, great. I'll watch that.
The Eternals is coming out in a week or two, I think. So, you know.
Okay, great.
Yeah. It's big, you know. It's when I went to see Bond, I was like, oh, trailers. I wonder what's coming up. And it was literally like sitting there with my dad. He will go see none of these movies. Like Dune, The Eternals, fucking, I don't know. All these like big sci-fi blockbusters. He's like, yeah.
But look, to sum up, some people may not want to jump across the bows with us. Maybe here for the Simpsons content only. Thanks for joining us.
You got some attitude, mister. No, but thank you very much. If this is where you get off, you're looking at two people who are getting off right here.
Getting off right now, folks. Don't you want to get off with us?
But no, thank you very much, everybody who supported the podcast. And we hope you'll still support us. Like, you can get us, again, on Instagram, on Twitter. It'll be staying the same. Mm-hmm. Instead of at Put It In H, it'll be... What's So Great About? On the Patreon, it'll be the same as well. Like, yeah. So, you know, if we get new people on, this is your first one you're listening to,
go back.
Yeah, also,
you have to go back.
Yeah, if you're listening and you've enjoyed things so far and you haven't got around to doing it, you know, a 5-star rating review always really helps. Going forward, I will have bits for my 5-star review. Just didn't seem appropriate for this one.
That's fine.
Because it's a recap. I could have said, well, we've done our top and bottom five, and they said, you know what I need? A 5-star review. I would have been phoning it in.
Now, I don't know if I've actually given our official top fives since we actually covered it.
Who cares?
Okay, fine.
Yeah, look, we're past that. Yeah, we've
closed the door.
Yeah. So until 2 weeks when we have our rebranding.
I'm taking a wee break.
Wait to see the logo, folks.
Oh, I love it. I've been looking at it all day. Yeah. I'm so happy with it.
Bit of product placement there, but whatever.
Folks, thanks very much. And we'll catch you in 2 weeks. Very exciting. Goodbye.
For a test drive. And you'll agree. Zagreb, Berlin, Zlotik, yeah.
And you'll agree. Zagreb, Berlin, Zlotik, yeah.